There you go. What a principle. You got to hate what is in control of your life. The moment you hate it, the moment you give it over to God, then something starts to change in your life. Hallelujah. God says there should be no idols. And we think idols are some kind of statue or things that we should worship to make it an idol. Idol is anything that stands before you and God. Hallelujah. And most of us have idols in our lives that have kept us from really going through and full in God. The reason why you are not going full and through in God and being built up in God and become Christ-like in God is because there's idols in your life that needs to get out. And true repentance is when you turn around from that that's not of God, something that you hate. That's why Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Repenting means to turn completely around from wherever that you have been at or whatever that you've been worshiping. God says, hear, O Israel, there is only one God. Hallelujah. I am God and there is no other God like me. Only one God. And he says, worship me only. Worship me with all your mind, all your soul, all your spirit. You shall have no other gods before me. Hallelujah. We think we have to go and worship some religion or some other, follow some prophet to follow something that is an idol before God. Whatever that is in your life is an idol before God if it's an obstruction for what God wants for you. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Somebody should say, thank you, Pastor. That is my word this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, Holy Ghost, you breathe upon your word, O God, to reveal it to us. The deep secrets of God that only our minds can never fathom and our minds can never comprehend. Only you, Holy Ghost, is able to reveal those to us. I pray this morning, Father, that let your word, Lord, reveal the truth, O God, in our lives, that the truth itself will set us free. God, we give you praise. We give you honor. Your word is a lamp unto our feet that guides us every day of our lives. Lord, I thank you that your people are here because we believe in your word. We want to see transformation in our lives. We want to receive something, oh God, from you this morning. And Father, I thank you. You speak. Hide me, oh God, under your wings. Hide me so that the people will not see, but they will hear your voice and they will see you talking, Father. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Wave to somebody and say, hey, hallelujah. Hey. Give them a big smile. And you know, I keep saying we keep doing these things and it's like a chicken dance now. It's funny, but you know, hallelujah. Well, 2020 shift. We don't shift just from our mouths, just from what we say, but we shift from our mindset. And we shift from our hearts. Amen. My scripture this morning, there's a couple of scriptures that I'm going to bring to you in bringing these principles to you. But the title or the key title that God gave me is Exodus 20:20. Hallelujah. God's been talking about 20:20. You go to 20:20, there's something that God speaks to you. And Exodus 20:20 talks about the fear of God. And the title is that it's a statement from Moses himself. And Moses said, so that the fear of him may be before you. Hallelujah. Verse 19, I'll take it from verse 19. Speak to us yourself, the people said, and we will listen, they said to Moses. But do not let God speak to us, or we will die. Do not be afraid, Moses replied, for God has come to test you, so that the fear of him may be before you, to keep you from sinning. Hallelujah. That's the statement that Moses made. Now God, remember the story in Mount Sinai when God came down in a storm, in a thunderous clouds and lightning bolts, and people just didn't want to go closer to the mountain. Moses said, do not go close to the mountain, but stay from afar and watch. And God was speaking to Moses. Hallelujah. And the people said, listen, we don't want to hear from God. Well, we don't want God to speak directly to us. You speak to us, because if he does, then we will die. Now, the scripture talks about the fear of God. My key point of bringing this message to you this morning is the reverential fear of God, the true fear of God, that we in the church have lost it. The Pentecostal church have lost the true fear of God. We brought so much of the world into our church. We've brought so much of the influence of the world into the church The conviction of the Holy Spirit is not that strong anymore because we choose to have what Mama Julie was talking about, something of the world and something of God. We come hand in hand with things that belong to the enemy or the devil and something belongs to God. I always say, if you have something that is a foothold that will allow the devil to actually pick on, because the Bible says he goes around what? Accusing the brethren. And so our lives has to be transparent. Integrity is doing something when nobody is watching you. That's really what I said this morning. And it's really important for us to understand as a church, because the whole world is waiting for us to reveal the true glory of God in our lives. We have misrepresented God so many times. And it's time that we in the church start to come back to the place where God says, walk blameless before me, walk holy before me. Scripture tells us that the fear of God is the what? Beginning of wisdom. Very simple statement, but has a powerful concept to it. The very fear of God brings in such wisdom that you and I can never have even without knowing God. The New Testament treats the fear of God as a motive for not turning away from Him. We should fear God in a sense that we seek refuge from God or from God or from going away from God and His terrible wrath. See, there's a fear that God wants us to have. God's grace in Christ is the refuge that we have. And God's wrath is the thing we have outside of Christ. So if you're living outside of Christ's will, or outside of Christ, then you will always walk in a place that is there's fear of what the wrath of God is. But God allowed us to be able to, it causes this fear to come into us so that we will walk in the place that He wants us to walk. Amen? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that you don't refuse Him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused Him, who warned them on earth? How much less will we escape if we reject Him who wants from heaven? That's a powerful statement. I always say, if you're a person of obedience, and you say, I only hear from God. Well, if you can't obey the Holy Spirit, then what makes you think you're going to obey the pastor? Bible says, those that I've placed on earth are talking to you. And if you can't obey them, then how much more are you going to obey the one who speaks from heaven? Hallelujah. For us, there has to be security in God. Verse 28, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be what? Shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with what? Reverence and godly fear. For our God, and He says that here that at the end, our God is a what? A consuming fire. Hallelujah. I love that. That is enough to keep me in a straight path, in a straight line before God. Because I don't want to face His wrath. I want God to bless me. And God says, Israel, there's a mountain of curse and there's a mountain of righteousness. There's a mountain of obedience, and then there's a mountain of disobedience. You choose. Joshua made a statement. He says, listen, if you want to worship your idols and your gods and all that stuff that you've been carrying with you, you go ahead and you do that. As for me and my house, he spoke not on behalf of Israel. He spoke on behalf of him and his children and his wife and his household. And he says, as for this little area here, you see, me and my house, he says, we will worship God. Hallelujah. That's a statement that we as Christians must stand on, because we compromise too much in the things of God. And it's not your fault. It's the pastor's fault for preaching messages to please people. We are not here to please anybody. We are here to bring you to a place of holiness and righteousness so that God can truly, we can truly reveal His glory on the very earth that you and I are living in. That's our purpose, is to serve His will first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else, including what you think or what you have, or your clothes, or your food, or your job, or your family, that will be added unto you when you seek God and His righteousness first. Powerful statement, and that has been our theme for the whole year since 2018 all the way up to 2020. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is your very first priority in life. Nothing else matters except the will and the kingdom of God. Because when you find that, then you found everything else. Hallelujah. In other words, the same thing is there. We are safe. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. But our God is a consuming fire, he says. You don't come near him without reverence and awe. That's why you come to lift your hands and worship. That's why you bow your knees before him to worship. Because that's kingdom. If you cannot worship God like that, and when the ruler and the ruler of this kingdom comes, how are you going to worship him? You got to practice it now. The life that we live right now is practicing heaven. Practicing what? That's why you pray. You pray prayers like Jesus said, pray like this. Let your will be done on earth as it is in where? Heaven. How you do things in heaven? We want to see it right here. The reason why you and I are still alive to this day is to reveal his glory and come against all this darkness that is coming against the world today. Hallelujah. And the worst of all, coming against the church. Papa Joe said, you're a target to the enemy. The moment you give your heart to Jesus, God never promised a bed of roses in our lives, my friends. God promised problems. God promised persecution. But then he said, but that battle is not yours. It's mine to fight. Hallelujah. All we need, my friends, is obedience and trust. We got to trust God in what he's already told us. We have faith, but most of us walk in faith without trust in God. We give him the reins, we take it back again. We give him everything, and then we take it back again. We give him everything for a year, and then the next year we take everything back again. And God can't deal with situations in your life until you really, truly trust him. This is a powerful testimony. So many years of trying to give this thing up. You can make New Year's resolution, I'm going to stop this and stop that and stop that. Unless the Holy Spirit is in it, it's a waste of time. People make New Year's resolutions that doesn't work. Unless the Holy Ghost is truly inside your New Year's resolution, then you will truly change. Romans 11, verse 19 to 21 shows us how you not only experience the fear of God as a right way of worshiping him in a reverence and awe, but you experience the fear of God as an incentive not to walk away from him. The fear of God is actually to keep you in church. It's to keep you in the place of righteousness and holiness. That's really what the fear of God is. God shows his power, his awesomeness, and he said, if you want to deal with that, then it's up to you. You choose which way you want to walk. People say, Moses, you speak to us. That's too much. At least we can receive something that is easy for us to receive. Because Moses was like the type of Jesus at the time. He was the mediator between God and man. God spoke to Moses. Moses brought the message to the people. That's why I'm saying, if you cannot listen to the Holy Ghost, then there's no place for you to be able to listen to a man that's God placed in front of you or before you to speak the word of God to you. Bring correction to you. Bring all these teachings to you to keep you in the place and the path where God wants us to be. Romans chapter 11, verse 19. You will say, branches were broken off so that I might be what? Grafted in. In other words, Jews were rejected so that I, a Gentile, could be grafted in to the Abrahamic covenant. We talked about that on Wednesday. What an amazing thing that God did to adopt us into the people that he called that are closest to his heart. Verse 20, that is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. Don't be proud. Just fear me. Reverence me. Respect me. If you can show that respect to your prime minister, your politician. See, God is God even before you want to praise him. God doesn't need your praise and your worship and your prayer to make him God. He is God before all that. Hallelujah. He is God before you were born. He is God when you were born and lived. And he is God when you die and go. He is still God. He doesn't need your praise to make him God. You understand what I'm saying? He doesn't need all that. All that is for us because you and I live in emotions and feelings. And so our feelings and emotions change, chemical reaction in our body change. Oh, one time I love this guy, next day I hate him. I love him, I hate him. I love them, I hate them. We move with emotions and feelings every time. God operates on principles, on his word. It doesn't change. If God changed in the Garden of Eden when he says, I'm going to come down and fix this problem, and Papa Joe quoted the promise, the covenant, the prophecy, he says, that same woman that you that you made sin, to bring the sin into this world, the same woman will bring your seed. And I, he says, will come to this earth legally and crush your head. God cannot go back on his word. He says, I place my word above all my name. Therefore, his word is law, his word is power, his principle. I am saved by grace, but his word still operates. Sanctification, righteousness, holiness comes from his word. Hallelujah. So he is commanding believers who are standing fast in faith to what? To fear. Fear what? Fear the prospect of becoming proud and arrogant and self-sufficient, which God hates, and drifting away from the living God in a kind of hard-heartedness. The people of Israel had that. One day, they're with God. Next day, they harden their hearts. One day, I thank God for his grace. I mean, God would just say, just wipe it all off and let's start all over again like I did in the days of Noah. He could easily do that. Hallelujah. But he didn't. So fear functions as a preservative so we don't walk away from God. Fear is good. Somebody say amen to that. Tell your friends, fear is good. Fear of God is good. Why? It keeps you from going away from God. God allows all these lightning and thunderbolts and all this stuff. So you want to face that, then you walk in that place of unrighteousness. But if you want to walk in blamelessly before me, then fear me. Because the fear and reverence of God brings in what? Wisdom. Oh, that's powerful. Wisdom. Wisdom is really applying what God says into our lives. You can have knowledge and understanding, but with no wisdom, it's all a waste of time. Wisdom is what? Applying everything that you heard this morning, everything that you read this morning, put it in action, put some legs behind your words, and it becomes what? Wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Mama Ali said that to me. Put some legs behind your words. Okay, I'll come pick you up for coffee. Because I promised her I was going to go get coffee. She goes, why aren't we having coffee next week? Why aren't we? I said, well, all right, I'll put some legs behind my words and I'll come and pick you up. That's powerful. That's God speaking right there. You've heard my word, then put some legs behind it. Get it moving. Get things happening in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Unfortunately, like we said and we heard this morning, getting rid of stuff is really hard. Some of us love it too much. You see, the moment you hate sin, the moment you hate whatever that is in your life, that's true repentance. John, when the Pharisees came towards him, he looked at them and he said, these guys, they're lip service people. There's nothing in there. It's just whitewash walls, tombstones. Outside is clean. Inside is full of whatever you want to imagine. Hallelujah. That's right. And John says, show me the true repentance of the fruits. I want to see the fruits of that repentance that you said, I'm sorry. You know, I said to my son, every time they do something and they say, oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I said, you don't mean that. And they look at me going, I said, yeah, you don't mean that. It's just coming out of your mouth. I want to see some action. If you love me, then you will do what I told you to do. If you're sorry, then you'll not do that again. I want to see action. If I see you not doing that again, I know that you're truly sorry about what you did. So don't come say, oh, I'm sorry, Dad. No, I don't believe you. You don't mean that. So don't come and say sorry to me. Sorry, Pastor, you don't mean that. Until you put some legs behind your sorry. Amen. Hallelujah. Godliness invites temptations and attacks from Satan. The more we seek to please God, Jesus, the more we are threatened by the enemy. I said that you are like Target. Not a big sign in Target supermarket. Yeah, you wear that. That's a big T-shirt. That's on you every day. If you're a person that walks in righteousness and holiness before God, you're a target for the enemy. The enemy doesn't like that. As long as the world is down there and as Christians living in ignorance, he's winning. All he has to do is bring ignorance into the knowledge that you and I are learning this morning. That's all he does. The willpower that God gives you, the same will, God gave you one of the greatest gifts, and one of them, and then the greatest one is the willpower that you have. People use willpower every time. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop. But the willpower doesn't help. It's a form of the last line of attack or the last line of defense, but it doesn't work. And the Holy Ghost and the devil uses the very same will that God gave you and I. And we use the same will to come against and go against God too. You refuse to come to church. You refuse to believe God. You refuse to do all that stuff. That's your willpower, mate. That's what you think, and that's what will carry you through. And God allows the Holy Spirit to deal with your will. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and grab your hands and put it on a drink or drugs or alcohol or pornography or all that stuff. The devil doesn't do that. You don't feel someone literally, physically carrying your hands and turn on the computer or on your phone. They deal with your willpower. The very will that God gave you, that's what they deal with. The Holy Ghost convicts, the devil tempts. Both of them deal with the very will. And from the moment you're there to sin, you have all the power, hallelujah, to make the changes before you get to that place. I love that testimony. That's a powerful testimony. Amen. Suddenly, like Cain, what have I been doing? I've been loving this very thing that's been with me. I hate it. The moment you stand on me, you go, I hate this. You know, when I came to Christ, I said that very word. I finished a big fight in a nightclub, fought with somebody, jumped in the car, drunk, driving up, ramming my car into the door of the nightclub, coming out, driving along, and I said loudly, I said, I hate my life. I hate this life. And God heard it. Hallelujah. And God said, good, now you've confessed that. Now I can deal with that. Hallelujah. We need to confess it. We need to come. And I talked about confession, 2 weeks ago. Confessing things. Can I share a quick testimony? Hallelujah. Young Jerry, can you see, Jerry, wave your hands. I am proud of this young man because he's a young man that I'm mentoring at the moment. There was an incident on my street up at my where I live. And my neighbor was down on the bottom part of the hill coming up, and he's on a blind corner, so when you come around his house, you wouldn't see the kids playing on the road, and if you come fast, you may hit somebody. And my neighbor was there, he had a few drinks, and he's a good man. I go down and help him build his house. And last night, he stopped me, he says, oh, one of your one talks, one of your friends. You know, he drives that car, he comes up here, and he comes speeding up the hill, and he goes up, and he said, tell him not to come that street anymore. I said, oh, what happened? And he started to tell me a little story about young Jerry. And I'm proud of this young man. Because Jerry got up the car and I was about to floor the guy, you know. And that's a testimony. I asked him, can I share this testimony? He says, yeah, Pastor, please, you share it. And so the guy was half scared because when Jerry came out, it was this tall guy with tattoos on his arm. And he was a little bit scared of Jerry. And he came to see me and he said, I'm sorry, this kid came and did this, and tell him to not come up on the street anymore. And I said, listen, I'll go and talk to him and I'll ask him to come and apologize to you. So as I was driving up, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And then he came up with a bottle of wine. He says, oh, I came to apologize to you. And he gave me the bottle of wine. He said, I just came to say sorry that I made that statement. I said, no, it's fine. And I left it like that. And this morning I came and I said to Jerry, I want to talk to you. I took him into the room and I started talking to him and I explained to him what had happened. And then I came up to preach the first service. And I was looking for Jerry. I said, where's this kid? He's gone. He jumped in the car and he drove all the way to the guy's house and asked him for forgiveness. Hallelujah. This is during service. He's trying to worship and he couldn't. The Holy Ghost said, you get out and get rid of this thing right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it now. He drove out, went all the way to the house and walked to the guy. And the guy got a shock. And he said, I came to apologize. And the guy said, no, it's my fault. And they made peace and everything. And he said, look, come to my house anytime. You want to come here and sit down and talk to me? I said, Jerry, these guys, I'm witnessing it to them. So make sure you go and do the right thing. I said, my street is my ministry right now. That little street. I'm going around giving pumpkins to everybody. Pumpkins coming out of our ears at the moment. Thanks to Colin. Colin's given us some pumpkins. And I've got a truck I'm driving around dropping pumpkins to people. So I said, Jerry, go and do the right thing. And I thought he was going to wait till tomorrow. He jumped up and drove straight through service all the way to the guy's house. When he came back, I said, son, I am so proud of you. You have just won a battle. And I'm telling you, all the other battles is nothing to you now. All these other giants is nothing to you. If you're a man that walks in forgiveness, I'm telling you, no other battle can defeat you. No foes, no enemies can touch you. Hallelujah. I just had to share that because it's along the line of what we've been sharing and talking about in the church. Hallelujah. Putting some legs behind your words. Hallelujah. Christ is the image of God. Colossians chapter, let me just go to Solomon. Solomon says, be attentive to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lip may guard knowledge. Whoa. Powerful statement. You have knowledge, but your lip guards it. It guards it all the time. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life or their way of life. And what? Imitate their faith. Paul says, imitate me because I imitate Christ. If you cannot see God, you cannot see him anywhere, then look at me. Then look at those who walk in righteousness and holiness. The Bible says if you walk like that, you reveal God's glory. And people can imitate you and say, yeah, I want to go to that place. I want to go to that church. These are the real people that worship God in truth and in spirit. We've misrepresented God so much. It is time for us to really think about those little things and get them into order. We want big things, but it starts from smaller little tiny things, like what Jerry did. It starts from there. That man is going to become a giant in the kingdom of God. Amen. Why? Because he's learned to walk in forgiveness. Amen. He's learned to walk in repentance. Hallelujah. Nothing in his heart. He didn't allow, because I preached that morning and he said, I don't want anything there that the devil will accuse me of. I don't want any of that. And he said, I am mixing the sound. I'm sitting there working. I am actually ministering with the pastor and the music team and everything. I said, my goodness, you are on the right path, my boy. You're doing the right thing right now. Hallelujah. And I want more people, young men like that, to do these things. We are called to model the character of Christ. That's what we're called to do. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them, God has what? Chosen them, or chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Oh, hallelujah. The hope of glory. Hallelujah. I wonder what God sees when he looks at you. I believe he sees Christ. Amen? Everybody's gone quiet now. I don't know. Is he seeing Christ? You should say, yes, Pastor. Hallelujah. He sees Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He sees it in me. Hallelujah. I can stand with all confidence and say, imitate me. Look at the kids. The kids, this is how you live life. This is how you get married to one wife. Hallelujah. This is how you do things. Marriage is from God. You got to do it right. Don't leave defective relationship. Imitate me. My father was the greatest role model in marriage. Married one woman. Hallelujah. I said, God, if I'm going to follow anybody in marriage, that's my father right there. That's what the Bible wants us to do, to reveal the character of Christ. I wonder what God sees in us. The mystery is that Christ is in you. That is the hope of glory. This suggests that our task is not to get Christ into us, but what? Out of us. Out of us. Amen. Get Christ out of us, revealing to the people in the community that you live in. Hallelujah. Get this into your mind. Jesus is seated on the right-hand side of the Father. Jesus, the one who died on the cross, with the glorified body, ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand side of the Father, becoming the high priest between God and man, interceding for you and I, hallelujah. But his image, which is in the Holy Ghost, lives inside of us. Christ, the Spirit of God, lives inside of us. That's who we need to reveal to the people, hallelujah. Most of us want to be like Jesus. That's not what God wants. God wants you to be like Christ. Reveal the image of God, which is inside of you. The Holy Ghost. God sees Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Christ is the image of God. The word image does not mean some statue or something. It means the essence or the being of God. That is the Holy Ghost. Lives inside of you and I. Hallelujah. What a powerful statement. And that's that same Spirit that what raised Christ from the dead. The same Spirit. The same essence. The same power. The same Godhead living inside of you. Raised Christ from the dead, lives inside of you. That can, and then it says, and that same Spirit can give you what? Life, and life abundantly. Hallelujah. What a promise. And it's just not a promise. We've got it. We have Him. He's living inside of us. Hallelujah. That is a testimony of Christ living inside of somebody. If a young man can do that, he's on a great path already in victory. Papa Joe said, we are not supposed to be walking like overcomers. We've already been over. We are already overcomers. The Bible says we are more than overcomers. Jesus said, I have overcome that. But He said, you are more than that. Hallelujah. That's a promise. That's a powerful statement that my Jesus said. In other words, Christ is in us somewhere. Christ is in me. Christ is in you. God knows He is there. So His image is reflecting His glory to the people that we are ministering to. I was driving up this mountain. I was really disturbed. I'm thinking, this young man, you know. But I didn't know that he was already convicted. And that's the Holy Spirit doing the conviction. I walked straight up and said, young man, I want to see you in my office. And he walks into the room and I sat down with him and said, this is what happened. You know what to do. Hallelujah. I was waiting for him to do it tomorrow or the following week. This is during the service. He's trying to worship and the Holy Ghost said, come on, lie. You're trying to worship me, we just leave service. There's nothing there. Come on, go and do the right thing. And he got in the car and he drove all the way to the house. He came back, he says, now I can worship. Hallelujah. This is putting legs behind your words. Listening to what you're receiving and doing it. Hallelujah. Paul taught us this. Pray for everybody. Let me just finish because it's a long message and it's got two parts. But I'll just go quickly to the end. Skeptics are searching for reasons to accuse us. We are living in a world now, you know, this thing they call the cancel culture now. They're canceling out everything that you believe in. And whatever they believe in, they believe in. And that's it. And you can't tell them what to believe. Hallelujah. You know, when I see this news, I got angry. I said, God, You said to preach the gospel. And You said, the truth, you shall hear the truth and the truth shall set you free. Papa God, I said, that's Your word. And You said, when you pray to God, you got to quote His scripture. You got to quote His word. And you said that signs and wonders will follow this gospel that we're preaching. And I said, Your signs and wonders are people transformed by the truth. So we will continue to speak the truth. You don't have to try and dress up the truth and put clothes on it or put a new shirt on it or take some shirt off it. You don't. Naked truth, it can still work. Hallelujah. The truth will set people free when you preach the Word of God. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, it works on the Word of God. Don't try to separate Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are still there. They're still together. And the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, He watches over the Word to fulfill it, and He will do it. You just have to preach the Word of God. Don't try to water it down or dress it up or make it just simple as it is. Preach it. Whatever that is in the Bible, say it and speak it because the Holy Ghost is over it, watching over it. It may take transformation for another week or two, but it will happen, my friends. It will change. That man getting angry with Jerry and coming up and swearing and carrying on, he's going to come to Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's going to come to Jesus. And he's my neighbor. So I will continue to love him and continue to go down and sit down with him and have a wonderful conversation with him. Oh, because he's building my house too. He's a builder, so he has to. We have to make friends with him. I need a good builder. See? It's all in God's hands right here. Hallelujah. God has been leading me more into this. And we don't bring messages to please people. You got to know one thing. This church, we don't please people. I'm not in the business of pleasing people. I'm in the business of transforming people, giving the people truth so that God Himself will transform people. Hallelujah. And so I try changing messages. God said that you stay on the path that I've asked you to do and you don't change until I am finished with it. Hallelujah. So this 2020 shift is going to go on forever. Hallelujah. I love it. I love God's Word. You study the Word and it just jumps out of the pages. Jesus Christ, listen, He didn't get rid of sin. Papa Joe said, good statement He made. We're preaching the other message. Jesus never got rid of sin. He just finished the work on it. He paid the price for it and made the way for those who are born again. You and I sitting right here today. And those of you who are watching. I forgot those that we are on live stream. Hallelujah. Hello, everybody. You're watching on live stream. Thank you, Jesus. That is why you must make decisions based on what? The Word of God and not emotions and feelings. God never loved us with emotions and feelings. God didn't just all of a sudden say, I feel like loving somebody today. Or I feel like forgiving somebody today. God doesn't operate on emotions and feelings. He operates on principles and His Word. He said it, He's going to do it. Hallelujah. That's why His promise is a yea and yea, yes, yes, and amen. Hallelujah. The devil will keep coming at you, at your will and emotions. But I say to you, like Jesus said, be driven by the Spirit. Be driven by His Word. Be driven by prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer has been becoming really good. We had a wonderful prayer on Saturday morning. And I'm starting to see some things happening. Hallelujah. When I see people coming for prayer, I always say, if our church, if we can come to church like this and then come for prayer, the same. Getting up in the morning and say, I'm going for prayer. You know, corporate prayer, there's some power. There's a power in it. And the principle is in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20:20. There's a principle behind combined prayer together. Your own prayer life, your own university of silence is important for you. You have time to sit down so that you can hear God and tune your spirit to God. That's important. We need to hear God because there's all sorts of different God speaking and all sorts of different false prophets speaking and all sorts of Messiah showing up and fronting up at your doorstep. But you know a still quiet voice of the Holy Spirit, only you can hear Him. And so God wants us to have prayer time. But the prayer principle of coming together, when Joseph had called the prayer and he sent out word to all of Judea and said, everybody come down, we're going to pray together and we want to hear from God and what God's going to say. And God spoke through a prophet or a man called Jahaziel. Jahaziel in Hebrew means the one who watches God and God watches him. What a name. Powerful. You don't just give names to babies with no meaning. Give names to babies that has a lot of meaning to it. Hallelujah. And Jezebel stood up and said, listen, this battle is not yours. It's God's. But he said, I heard something else. He says, but you turn up. Just put on your full armor of God. Get your sword and turn up at the battle. Hallelujah. God will fight the battle for you. See, most of us think, oh, grace, 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 let God fight everything for me. No, sanctification process is you working it to get it to the place where God wants it to be. Hallelujah. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is God's breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in what? Righteousness. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is written in the book that if sin abounds, grace abounds more. We like to quote scriptures like that. We are not under the law, but under the grace. God sees us through Jesus as if we have never sinned. Powerful scriptures. Everybody like to quote it. We must not go back under the law because we are saved by grace and not by works. We must rest in the finished work. But do you know that that has the effect of causing you to live callously? Somebody say amen to that. Using grace to sin. Hallelujah. They rest in the finished work of Christ, but they still do the assignment of the devil. This is what the testimony was here, right here, this morning. You heard it. Somebody wants to change, but somebody couldn't break through this thing until she said, I hate this. I hate this life. I hate this sin. I hate these things that are happening to me. I hate it. God, I hate these things. I'm giving it to you. We need to trust God with that kind of prayer. We like to give God the reins and then we take back. We're such great Indian givers. We give things back, we take it back. We give it to God, we take it back. We give it to God, we take it back. And God says, you wanted to have it? You can have it. God wants us to give everything to Him and then what? Trust Him. This is what a lot of Christians are saying. Jesus has done everything and we can do nothing. In other words, no obedience. A lot of Christians are walking in disobedience in God's word. Oh, God's done everything for me. I can just relax at home and not do anything. Listen to me. The sanctification process in your life needs you to work on it. That's why Paul says, beat your body into subjection. Come against this. Strain against these things that are coming against you. Hallelujah. You can't sit comfortably walking Christian, casual Christian walk and allow to grow in God. You got to fight. When Joshua crossed the Jordan, hallelujah, when he stood at the side of the Jordan and God says, now you're going to put the Ark of the Covenant in the middle and then walk across. And he says, when you get there, there'll be giants, but you can take that land. Did you see when the people were inside the desert, in the wilderness, God was providing everything for them. The manna from heaven, the water from the rock. God was, you know, your prayer when you come first time to God, your prayer is really quick. You pray, something get answered really quickly because God's building you up and God's providing for you. But the moment you cross Jordan, hallelujah, God says, there's a city, but you got to fight for it. Everything that you go across this land now, you have to fight for it. You got to work, he says. Get things done because you cannot just go in there and me feeding you every time. You got to get up and do it. That's obedience. That's trusting God. That's standing up at the battlefield with your full armor saying, God, I'm here. You fight now. That's how we do things in the kingdom of God. You turn up. You're turning up to prayer. You're turning up to church. You're turning up to something that is of God. Shows that you obey God and you trust God to do everything for you. Not lying in the house and turning on TV. I said, oh, it's a good Sunday. Today I'm just going to chill out. Go fishing today. It's Sunday. She'd be right, mate. No, it's not right, my friends. If you're a Christian saying she'd be right, please refrain from that and turn around and repent and change what you're saying right now. That is not right. That is not according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Are you getting something in this? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't go quiet on me. Punch your fist up and say, Pastor, that's my word this morning. Hallelujah. I received that. Amen. I'm talking fundamental stuff that we do in walking in the kingdom of God. What God requires us to do in this kingdom. Hallelujah. Faith in Christ Jesus always results in good works. The person who claims to be a Christian but lives willful disobedience to Christ has a what? False or dead faith. That's why James said, show me their faith and I'll show you the faith with action. I'll show you some action. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. Do you not know that the unrighteousness or unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. There's a lot of things coming against the church, a lot of false prophets, a lot of sheep in wolf skins, things that are coming against us. But Jesus said, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived by what you see. Devil comes disguised in good things, but it's not the right things. You always hear me say this. They keep you busy doing good things and forgetting to do the right things. Hallelujah. Let me close with this scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to what? His purpose. Everything that God does for us, every correction that God brings to you, it's for His will and it's for His purpose, not yours. Hallelujah. Because when you find God's purpose and God's will, then you will find yours. Yours comes easily when you find God, when you find His will. The meaning of this scripture is twofold. The word work out means to continue to work, to bring something to complete fruition or completion. God says, Joshua, you're crossing over. But you're not going to sit around and wait for me to bring manna from heaven anymore. I'm not going to bring water from the rock anymore. You go and you do it. You wanted that city? You take it. You wanted that land? You take it. Hallelujah. But he said, I will fight the battle for you. All you have to do is stand up at the battlefield and let me fight the battle for you. That's trust. That's really trusting God for that. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of discipline and obedience. God is calling us to be disciplined and to obey His word. And we cannot do that until we learn to what? Trust God. Trust Him. Turn to your neighbor and say, trust God. You all sit and go, trust God. Trust him. If you say that you're a person of faith, then you've got to trust him. When you pray, know that he's going to do it and trust him to do it. And he will do it. Hallelujah. Give everything to God so that he can take care of them. Psalm 2 verse 11, sum it up perfectly. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with what? Trembling. We work out our salvation by going to every source of our salvation, the Word of God. The very source of our salvation comes from the Word of God. And where we renew our hearts, our minds, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 says, coming into His presence with a spirit of reverence and awe. Hallelujah. Let's be people that fear God. If you start fearing God with the little things, then it will grow that the conviction in your heart is so strong that you will know what is wrong from right. Many of us are asking questions, is that sin? Should I keep doing that? Is that sin before God? And you know it's sin. But you continue to ask questions like that. Is it sin? Yes, it's sin. If it's not right, it is. How big or small it is, it's still wrong. You get away from that place. Move away from that place. This is the very fear and trembling that the Israelites experienced when they witnessed the thunder and the lightning flashes, the sound of trumpet. Man, imagine that on Mount Sinai. It brings in reverence and respect to God. Hallelujah. God says, I am God, and there is no other. All that stuff. And Israel said, man, Moses, you speak to us. Hallelujah. That's what we should be now in bringing that reverential fear to God. It brings in the wisdom. It brings in the change in you. And you start to walk in a place where you've never, never, never walked before. I was speaking to some people, and I said, you know what? I know my life has changed. Why? Because the platform that I'm in is not the same as I was just an ordinary Christian walking around going to church. This is a different platform now. This is a platform that our hearts have to be clean, our hands have to be clean, our hearts have to be pure. Because you want to bring the Word of God to the people, then your heart has to be transparent and clean. And it is not just for the pastors, my friends. It's for every one of you sitting here right now, today. You are a priest unto your family, unto your boss, unto your employee, unto your teacher, wherever you are. Listen, my kids, you're a priest unto them. And you carry the presence and the Spirit of Christ into those places. The next time you are tempted, remember that the Lord God of universe, what? Knows everything. I spoke about the omniscience of God. He knows everything. We cannot fathom His knowledge. We cannot fathom everything about God. Only the Holy Ghost will reveal all this stuff to us. He's watching. You're watching you right now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. Because He is holy. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Revelations 4, 8. These are describing who God is. He must judge any sin you choose to commit. I'll finish with this statement. If you have a sin, and it is a private sin, and you say, that's my sin, then God will judge your sin, just you. But if you decided, oh, this is a good sin, I need to introduce it to the community, then God will judge the community. You and the community, God will judge. And then you decided, well, it's a great sin, let's just introduce it to the nation. Then God will judge the nation. The nation of Australia will come under judgment for all the laws that are passed in the parliament. Mark my word, God is a God of judgment, and God says, I will judge according to your sin. I will judge it. Hallelujah. And so be prepared. That's why we pray for our government. We pray for our prime minister. Pray for Scott Morrison that he'll make decisions that are based on the principles and the word of God. Hallelujah. Put leaders in the parliament and in your communities, people, men that fear God, and will make decisions based on the word of God. Hallelujah. We quote scriptures like, you know, if God is with us, who can be against us? Well, live it. Do it. Trust God that He will make the changes and speak the truth. Hallelujah. Cowering over, hiding from everything because we can't say to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ anymore. That's rubbish. Come on. This is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Preach the truth, and the truth will set people free, and signs and wonders will follow what you preach. And what the greatest signs and wonders is people coming to Christ, transforming, reborn in the Spirit, coming to the kingdom. That's the greatest miracle, hallelujah, on earth right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Close your eyes. lift your hands up before God. Father, you know our hearts. You're the all-knowing God. You, God, you saw it all over something. You know our hidden sin, our hidden whatever that is hidden from people. But Father, you're a spirit. You created us and you know everything. Lord, I pray that you search our hearts as what testimonies that have been preached, that have been shared this morning. Father, and even this word that has been released to your people this morning. Father, continue to search our hearts that we will find if there is anything that is not of you, if there is anything that is causing us to stumble, if there's anything that we've loved so much more than you, more than coming to church, more than spending time with the word, more than prayer. Father, if that is an obstacle and it becomes an idol, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, we pull that thing down right now over your people.
Yes.
I pray and I speak your word in Jeremiah 1:5 that you have given us authority to uproot, to destroy, and to rebuild. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now, I pull down everything, every idol, everything that has become an obstacle in your people's lives as they continue to walk in you. God, we pull it down right now in the name of Jesus. Destroy it, Father. Never again it will be something that will cause them to stumble or fall. God, I pray and I release that over your people this morning. Those that are watching on television, on screen this morning, on live stream. Father, I pray, oh God, whatever that is, I pray that they will now, to this morning, reveal it to you and say, I hate this sin. I hate this thing that's causing me to stumble. And I pray, God, that they will do that right now as we are praying. Right now, they will bring it out into you, in the open. Share it with one another so that you can crush it and break it, oh God, in their lives. Because you want the blessing of God to be upon them. That is why you do it. Father, I pray that no obstacle, no idol, nothing shall stand in the way of your people as they continue to reach out and continue to push on and press on, Lord, in their lives, walking in the kingdom of God. Lord, we pray and we bring that before your throne of grace today. Jesus, you're our high priest. You're the one sitting right now on the right hand side of the Father, receiving this petition, oh God. I pray, Father, that you deal with this situation right now, we pray. God, we bring our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, before you this morning, God. Father, I pray for this man's family. I pray for his leadership. I pray, oh God, for his people. I pray, God, for the cabinet, oh God. I pray that this man will stand and he will speak, oh God. I pray that he will know that he is the man of the season. He is the man of the hour. He is placed there for a purpose, oh God. I pray that he will make decisions in the constitution of this country that will change, oh God. That this place, oh God, this country will truly come, rise up and become the country that you prophesied. You said that this is the land and the great sub land of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you will raise men and women of God, leaders of that substance of God, that will stand against every word that comes against the word of God. Anything that tries to come against the kingdom of God, there are men and women that are going to rise up and speak the truth. Hallelujah. Father, we pray your blessing upon Scott Morrison this morning. I pray, Lord God, for his family. I pray that you protect him, oh God, that you watch over him, oh God. Father, we bring our Premier, Anna, we bring him before you, the Premier of Queensland. We bring her before your throne of grace this morning. We pray your blessing upon her, oh God, that she will make decisions, oh God, based on your word. I pray that you will bring men and women that will surround them, Lord, that you will speak to them. They will bring the principles and the precepts of God, oh God, upon our people this morning. Father, we speak to that right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you said you will bind the strong men over the territory of Cairns. We pray, oh God, your blessing upon the city of Cairns, oh God. We pray for the mayor of the city. We bring the mayor of the city before you today. Father, we pray your blessing, oh God, upon him. We speak your blessing upon him. I pray that let him be blessed. I pray that this man will stand up and speak for the truth, oh God. They will speak the truth that comes from this word. Hallelujah. God, we bring them before you this morning. Hallelujah. Only you can do the miracle changes, oh God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory.
Yes, Lord.
Papa God, we trust you. We trust you in every prayer that we bring to you. Jesus, you are the mediator between man and God. You are doing your work as the high priest right now. Father, I pray. Holy Ghost, I thank you. Jesus, receive the petition today. And I pray you send your angels, hallelujah. Commission your angels, oh God, to do the bidding, do the work, oh God, over the lives of your men and women and children, oh God. Father, we come against every spirit of suicide. Every spirit of suicide. We speak to you right now in the name of Jesus. We pull you down in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over the lives of the people. You have the authority over the lives of the people. I pray we break the spirit that is over the indigenous people of this land. Hallelujah. I speak your blessing upon them, O God. That, Father, when they receive the truth of the Holy Spirit, when they receive the truth of God, hallelujah, they will break forth. And, Father, we will see revival in this nation. We will see revival in this nation, O God. Hallelujah. I pray, O God, that your people become people of prayer. If my people will humble themselves, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, and pray, God, you promised that you will heal our land, O God. Thank you, Lord. I pray, O God, we bring this petition before you this morning, and we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people agreed and shouted and said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him before we finish. Thank you, Jesus.
Sing together, I surrender, oh, I surrender,
oh, oh, I surrender,
I surrender,
oh, I surrender, oh, to thee my blessed Savior,
I surrender.
Oh, I surrender,
and I surrender,
oh, to thee, my blessed Savior.
Let's raise it up. We surrender, oh.
I surrender, I surrender, I surrender, oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Oh.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Worship him wherever you are. Give him praise, for he's worthy of all praise, worthy of all honor, worthy of all glory. Hallelujah. Papa God, we thank you. We thank you for your wonderful presence. Hallelujah. Those who are watching this morning, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Shalom, peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything has been restored, yes. Made whole, well, and complete, Jesus. In body, your soul, your spirit, in your job, in your family, in your children, in your marriage, in your relationship, in your promotions, in your health. Everything that God has already bestowed upon you is a blessing. Nothing is missing in that. Nothing is broken in that. Everything has been restored in Jesus' name. I pray, I declare it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.